This meeting is now being recorded.
All right, well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 3 String Contention, Objections, and Disputes call held on the 10th of October, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? And I know Jeff Newman is currently on audio only. Well, maybe. Okay. Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Robin Gross.
Thank you very much, and thanks to those of you who have joined in today's call. Let me quickly go over the proposed agenda. So we'll update our SOIs. We'll have an update from the plenary co-chair, one of the plenary co-chairs. Very briefly discuss how we'll handle our schedule between now and Abu Dhabi, our meeting schedule, and then dive into the matter of the conclusion to string similarity and questions, in particular, picking up with 3.44 and 3.46 issues have to do with the private auctions and the last resort auctions and the community priority evaluation and then the GAC's request with respect to GCGLDs. So, and then any other business. That's what we've got on our proposed agenda. Is there anything that anyone would like to add to this? Any other business? Okay, I don't see or hear anyone. So let's go forward. Is there anyone who would like to update their statement of interest? Now would be a good time for that. Okay, don't see or hear anyone on that issue, so let's move forward. Issue number three is the plenary update, and I see co-chair Aubrey Doria has her hand up, so Aubrey, please come in. The audio seems to be a bit off, unless someone's listening through an old print. Aubrey, I can't hear you. I don't think anyone else can hear you either. Are you want to try dialing back in or try again? Okay, well, I still don't hear Aubrey or her voice or anyone's voice. So why don't we skip this item in the agenda for now, and we can come back to it when Aubrey gets in with the audio, it looks like, in the chat. She's trying to get in again, so we can come back to that issue. In the interim, let's go on to the next item in the agenda. Which actually is a little bit mislabeled here now, which says, should we add another meeting before ICANN 60 for the week of October 17th? So since we came up with this agenda, we've had some talks and thought maybe the thing to do isn't to add yet another meeting between now and then, but to move up the meeting that we currently had scheduled on the 23rd, but to move that up to the week of the 17th, and basically, so the same time that would be this same Tuesday, the same day of the week, or if there's a better time for folks, now is a good time to discuss this. So we still have a freedom of expression left to talk about on our agenda before Abu Dhabi, and I'm hoping that we'll get finished with string similarity today. So we basically will have one more meeting after this one before we meet in Abu Dhabi. So did folks have any thought about should we – oh, that's right. And as Karen points out, we need to also go over accountability mechanisms. So we've got two big topics and one meeting that remains between now and then. So I don't know if anyone had any thoughts or suggestions, especially with respect to moving the meeting from the week of the 23rd up to the week of the 17th. Anybody want to weigh in on this? Okay. Well, I see in the Karen. Yes, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Karen. Thanks, Robin. I just want to say that I feel like that with what we have left to cover and with the original goal of all of the work tracks to be to try to get through RCC2 by the time we leave Abu Dhabi, excuse me, that we need to, with whomever is available on the 17th, at least hold another meeting and try to make some progress. I see in Anne's comment in the chat, she's asking, are those good topics for the face-to-face? And that's a good question. We actually are saving for our face-to-face the very last thing on our CC2, which is the topic of communities and community application, community priority evaluations. That's going to be our topic on Saturday morning in Abu Dhabi. We then have, following our work track session, we then are going to go take the input we get from our PEP members on Saturday, and we have a dedicated 30-minute session with the GAC on Sunday morning at 10:30 to talk to them about community applications in addition to applicant support issues that are in subpro, and then the GAC will deliberate and discuss on what we present to them for another hour on Sunday morning. So I'd encourage you to, if you can, include that in your Abu Dhabi schedule as well. So with that being said, unless anybody just has strong objections, I'm going to say let's go for it. And put another meeting, put a meeting on the calendar for the 17th at 1500, and let's get what we can done before the meeting. We're still going to have to pick back up, but we want to be cognizant of our commitment to the community to sort of keep ourselves on track here for our initial report. Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much for that, Karen. Let me just ask you for clarification's sake. So we would hold the meeting on the 17th, and the one on the 24th that's currently scheduled, we cancel that one, or we would also hold that one as well, so we would have two more meetings between now and Abu Dhabi.
We were asked by the plenary chairs at Aubrey, Jeff, and Cheryl to not hold meetings the week of the 23rd, as everyone will begin traveling, and especially I understand the board members start traveling on the 23rd. So my understanding is that all PDP meetings are going to be canceled that week of the 23rd. But Aubrey can and staff can correct me if I'm wrong. But that is my understanding, that there will be no meetings the week of the 23rd. So we will have today's meeting and one more meeting on the 17th. Thanks.
Thanks very much for that clarification, Karen. I see Donna's hand is up next. Donna, please.
Hello.
I'm not hearing anything if you're talking.
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Now I can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. Karen, just in relation to, you know, the reference to the meeting with the GAC on the Sunday morning, was it your intention to have a meeting on the 17th to enable this group to prepare for that meeting? It would seem to me that in order to get something of substance out of that session, that preparation would be pretty important. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Donna. Karen.
Thanks, Robin, and thanks, Donna. No, that was not my intention, but I will take that to our leadership team as soon as we're off this call. What we had been talking about in the leadership team was dealing with the two topics that we're going to be talking to, that the GAC asked us to talk to them about on Sunday, dealing with those two topics directly preceding that meeting in our time in Abu Dhabi on Saturday, so that we would discuss it with the PDP group Saturday morning, then the leaders would go off and prepare it, and then we would go to the GAC on Sunday morning. But if the membership feels like we need to discuss it on the 17th in order to be prepared for the presentation to the GAC to update them on where the community is on the 29th, we can certainly take that up. But I would need to consult with the rest of the leadership team, Jeff, Aubrey, Cheryl, Robin, and everybody else to see if that's what we can do. But as of right now, that wasn't our game plan. Our game plan was to prepare for the GAC meeting on the Saturday before the Sunday meeting. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Karen. Okay, so it sounds like we've got a meeting scheduled for a week from today, or we will have a meeting scheduled a week from today. And we've got the topics, two topics remaining of freedom of expression and the accountability mechanisms. I'm not sure how much we could realistically accomplish in one meeting on those. So we may want to think about, this is just, you know, something to think about, using the meeting on the 17th and as suggested for the preparation, and then coming back when we come back from Abu Dhabi, sort of picking up with where we left off in the overall list of topics. And so that would take us back to the accountability mechanisms and the freedom of expression issues. I don't know if others feel like that would put us too far behind track or too far behind schedule, or, you know, I don't know. What do others think? Because we're really just sort of here to facilitate what the group members think is the best way forward. Okay, well, yes, Anne, please, go ahead. I don't hear Anne either.
Hi, it's Anne. I'm sorry. I did not press my mute button adequately, you know, strongly. This is Anne Aikman-Scalise for the transcript. I wasn't thinking about it before, but when Donna brought it up, it sounded actually like a very good idea to spend some time in the meeting on the 17th to, you know, for early preparation with respect to the GAC, to have things clarified more. I mean, I suppose there's even, you know, possibility of splitting the time, but I think Donna has some good instincts there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne. Okay, well, I don't see any other hands or hear any other voices coming through on that, so I guess we'll just sort of take that back to the leadership group and update you in the coming days on what sort of suggestion forward. Okay, so it sounds like Avery might be back on audio now, so we can get back to the issue of the plenary update from the co-chair. Avery?
Yeah, this is Avery. Hopefully I can be heard this time.
Loud and
clear. Okay, thanks. I'll quickly go through it. The meeting was just yesterday. Basically, after going through the work tracks, we had a bit of a discussion on work track 5, talked about where we were in terms of the co-leaders, talked about the fact that we had made a decision among the co-chairs of the group and the subgroups, the work tracks on Martin. All of them were quite good candidates, and that we were passing that on to the GNSO Council for approval. I'm not sure whether it will get done in this meeting or not, but Cheryl is functioning provisionally until then. Then basically we spent a fair amount of time talking through the flexibility draft, trying to get through a complete work through of it. We got fairly close. We've got a couple more things at the end, some of which may be substantive discussions to go, but then hopefully that one will be almost ready for a first reading in the full meeting. I think it's time that we bring those three issues to a close, if we can, in preparation of creating draft recommendations sometime in the next couple months. So that was the main part of the issue. We talked a little bit about planning for Abu Dhabi, and that was about it. I don't know if there's anything else. Now, Jim did ask whether the meeting of the 23rd, the full session, full group meeting of the 23rd, was still on. I'll have to check. I don't remember the answer. I know I start my traveling to Abu Dhabi about halfway through that meeting, I expect. But you know, there's Jeff and there's Cheryl, so it may be okay to have that meeting. But I guess we're going to have to confirm that based upon what was just said. But I thought that meeting was still on. That's about it for me. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Avery. Does anyone have any questions for Avery? Okay, well, I don't see any, so let's move forward in our agenda and get right into the substance of the day, continuing on, hopefully concluding with the issue of string similarity and starting with question 3.4.4. And let me just read that question briefly. It says, do you believe that there should be some sort of mechanism to allow for a change of applied for TLD when it is determined to be in contention with one or more other strings? If so, do you have suggestions on a workable mechanism? So the ALAC, the Registry Stakeholder Group, the BRG and affiliates commented that they opposed allowing applicants to change and apply for TLD on the basis of contention, simply due to the reason of contention, seems to be their point. On the other hand, we have Validius, who supported allowing applicants to name an alternative string at the time of the application. And the argument there is that this would help to reduce cases of contention. And Google and the Registry Stakeholder Group, the BRG and affiliates, They supported allowing applicants to change the originally applied for string if the string is allowed at the time of the application but later restricted. So we've got a number of opinions in the record on this particular issue. Let's open this issue up for discussion here. What do the folks on this call think here? What's on the issue of allowing applicants to change the name? Let me be devil's advocate here and say, why not let them? What's really the harm? If it turns out you can go forward with your business one way, but you can't with another, what's the problem? What do folks think? Anybody want to get in the queue on this issue? Surely there are folks who had experience with this and in the last round and can give us some firsthand experience. Yes, I see Donna has her hand up. Donna, please go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Robin. Donna Austin. I think if you were going to allow something like that, it would have to be done before any of the strings were made public, and I think the rules that you'd have to put the rules that would have to go alongside that would have to be pretty tight as well. I think I can see kind of more problems than possible positive outcomes on something like this. But I think the important thing is that if you are going to allow an applicant to change to another string because it's in contention or something like that, then it would have to be, the string would have to be identified before all strings were made public.
Okay, thanks. I see now we've got a queue forming. Excellent. We've got Jeff and then Ann and then Greg. Okay, Jeff, please, you have.
So I think, can you guys hear me okay? Yes?
Yes, go ahead.
Cool. I think in a limited circumstances, I think that we should consider allowing strings to be changed to something else that legitimately represents something similar or to the string that was applied for. So in other words, let's say... let's say ABC was found to be similar to BBC at the time, which it wasn't, but let's just as an example, you should allow one or both of them to change to something else that might also represent the company. Or if a better example, I guess, would be if something applied for is similar to an existing string, now that we're going to have 19 or 1,300 of them, to allow them to something else that might actually represent something that's similar to what they've applied for. It's hard to think through, and I agree with Donna, it can be gamed kind of easily in a sense, so it's really got to have some tight rules. But I see no issue if, for example, someone's not allowed to do their first choice but then wants something that might be similar. But not sure what those rules would be.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Ann, you have the floor.
Yes, thanks, Robin. It's Ann for the transcript. Along with Jeff's idea, I wonder if it would be workable to do it simply at the time of application for a question of choices to be listed, 1, 2, 3, 4, but if one is in contention, have the option to fall back to 2, et cetera, versus just kind of trying to figure it out once you determine that you're in contention. Do people think it would be workable for an applicant to name 3 or 4 strings that are related to the particular purpose of the GTLD, in hopes of having their investment pay off, even if there's a string contention process that they want to opt out of.
Thank you very much, Anne. Greg.
Thanks. It's Greg Shatton for the record. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
Thanks. On the one hand, I have sympathy for a group or entrepreneur who has put together maybe a single application, finds himself in a contention set when another similar string or even not so similar string could have done just as well for their plan. Everything is kind of hanging by a string, so to speak. On the other hand, offering the ability to change kind of offers massive opportunities for gaming and trafficking, if you will, in applications. I agree that at best it should be a very limited choice, either a preset list, short list. I'm applying for one of the following three. If the first is in contention, I'll take number two, and that's it, or some other very limited choice like Jeff. And we'd have to think about ways to avoid gaming and having people essentially throw in almost blank check applications with the idea that they can always maneuver to get themselves a slot without contention and without committing beforehand to what their string will be. You know, a lot of this is kind of a necessary outgrowth of the black box and reveal approach that we're taking, and so we kind of have to take the bad with the good with regard to that approach. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Jeff. I'm sorry, Greg. Jeff, you're next.
Yeah, thanks. I agree with that, and I agree with, you know, Jim's comment, too, that can be easily gamed. The situation I'm really thinking of, and maybe it's just singularly focused, I'm thinking where brands might have similar names, not that they're necessarily in contention, but, like, for whatever reason, the RN is deemed to be confusingly similar to a lowercase m, and therefore two brands could have similar-looking names, even though they're not, like Unicorn and Unicom. I'm thinking of that situation. One of them, if they both couldn't go forward, one of them, maybe even like the Unicorn, I think it was a university or something, or Unicorn Software, whatever it was, you know, in that kind of situation, I can understand a very limited right for one or both of those parties to be able to change their string so that they both could exist. Or, you know, going into the future, if something's deemed to be similar to a past already delegated TLD, if they wanted to add like Inc. or LLC or something, again, that we could assure it's not gaming, but it's to avoid, you know, not contention for auction purposes, but to avoid the inability to have both coexist. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Jeff. So, you know, I am hearing a bit of agreement in the group generally that there's recognition that there could be gaming of this, but also recognizing that maybe this binary solution of yes, you can change or no, you can't change might be a little bit too harsh. And there are, you know, good suggestions that we've had about ways that we could tailor a system that allowed for changing the name, the idea of the multiple names or criteria after if you want to change your name. You know, establishing criteria, as has been suggested, like you can show that this isn't some kind of bait and switch operation, that it's going to be in the same industry or line as what you said you were going to do before. It actually strikes me that while we can't come up with a perfect solution, I think we could come up with something that you know, is a little bit more tailored to being fair to applicants than this binary situation that we have now. Okay, so I see that we've got a queue continuing. Anne, Jamie, and Aubrey. Anne, you have the floor.
Thanks. It's Anne for the transcript. I just wanted to clarify that I'm not sure what Jeff said about this, but I think that having a second choice specified in your application that you can opt to, that is a similar choice, I guess you would say, for the purpose of avoiding string contention is a perfectly legitimate reason to have a backup. String contention makes the whole process much more expensive and longer. There are delays, and I think it's a legitimate reason to provide options. I wasn't sure what Jeff meant with respect to that.
Thank you, Anne. Okay, continuing on in the queue, Jamie.
Yes, Jamie Baxter for the transcript. I think I understand Anne's line of thinking here, and it also raised some red flags with me that I think are important to be aware of, and that is that if it is to resolve string contention without putting you in contention with somebody else, but if, for example, you are in string contention and you decide you want to go to your second choice, which is also in a string contention, you know, the form of gaming that sort of jumps out at me is that if that's considered a quote-unquote weaker contention set that you could win, that seems to be problematic, especially if it wasn't your first choice of a string. So there are some, I'm not against the idea, but I think there definitely needs to be some guardrails or some guidance that's provided to the way this should and shouldn't unfold.
Thanks, Jamie. Aubrey, you have the
Hi, was I called on yet?
Yes, Aubrey, you have the floor.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, I didn't hear that. I was unmuting, and it goes deaf. So sorry, this is Aubrey speaking. I just wanted to go back to a bit of historical. In the policy, the intention had indeed been, if you go back to the policy, you'll see that it talks about if there's contention that the of those that are in contention should converse. And we had a lot of discussions, and I think the one we used to use was Bayer, and we talked about three people applying for Bayer and finding out one wanted black bear, one wanted grizzly bear, and one wanted gummy bear. And yeah, I think you'll find these discussions, and that it should have been possible for them to basically pick other names and proceed. And at the time that the first of the draft applicant books, the DAGs, I guess they were called, came out, that had been eliminated as a possibility. And at the time, the reason was that it was too difficult to go back and redo the first check on the string similarity and all that. So, and then jumping forward, so I think that what we're talking about now is indeed in keeping with what was the policy intent originally, but is not in keeping with the implementation. And this is one of those spaces where, you know, the group needs to look at both. I think the comments people have made about there being ways to save it, obviously in terms of Jamie's, you know, an easy rule would be you can't pick another name that's in a contention set, would be sort of one of the obvious rules that you know, one could put in there. But I just really wanted to point out that the historical, and I'm glad to see people talking about ways in which it might be possible to do this and limit the possibility for gaming. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. Next in the queue, we've got Alan and then Jeff. Alan, you have the floor. Oh, he has typed that I am muted and cannot unmute myself. Okay, so can
thank you. I have now been unmuted. I don't know how I got muted, but star six didn't work to unmute. I'm a little bit confused. There was discussion earlier about gaming, and yet all of the examples I've heard are ones in which ICANN essentially says there is a string similarity problem or something, you need to decide what kind of bear you are, and all of those are initiated by ICANN and not by the applicant. So I'm not quite sure the gaming. Now, yes, it's conceivable that someone could then move to something, but if we say you cannot move to something where there's an apparent contention set, I don't really see the gaming issue or concern. So maybe I've missed something along the way. Thank you.
Thanks, Ellen. Jeff, you have the floor.
Yeah, apparently I didn't do a good job of this, so I want to try it again. So there's two different things we're talking about. One is string similarity, and one is string contention. I am talking about at the string similarity stage, which is the initial check, that if you recall, there were two pieces to that. If a string was considered to be confusingly similar, whatever the words were, to another string that already existed, that application died. If it was found to be similar to another application, then it was put into a contention set. What I'm saying is that let's say it's judged to be too similar to something that's already existing, because now we have 1,300 or whatever there are going to be. Instead of the string dying, I think if that company or whatever that applied for the string wants to have something different and it's a reasonable alternative based on the organization that it is and what its purpose is, it should be allowed to do it. And I'll give you an example. So right now there is a delegation for the string .bom, bomb. I think it's nick.br has it. It's a string. I'm not sure what it means. I apologize for not knowing what it means. But let's say someone in the future wants .born, B-O-R-N. Well, under the existing rules that had Unicom and Unicorn being similar, .born would not be allowed to exist. But there are companies and brands and other things called born. If that company, rather than just having it die, if they are said, look, you can't have B-O-R-N because that's too similar to B-O-M, but you can have born Inc. or born with an E or whatever it is that makes it not so similar, you can go ahead with that. That is the stage I'm talking about. I'm not talking about trying to avoid an auction or contention or whatever it is. I'm talking about the first part where it checks against something that already exists, where maybe the party didn't think that its name looks visually similar to something else that already is that's already delegated. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Okay, well, I don't see any other hands or hear any other voices on this. Did anyone else want to get in the queue on this particular issue, 3.4.4? How about on the issue of at least if a string is after the application, if a string subsequently is determined to be unavailable, that they get to change their name. There did seem to be some agreement from the community in the comments that at least on that one situation, and it sounds like now there's a bit more rules that we could come up with to try to allow for to as well. Okay, so did anyone else want to get in the queue on 3.44? Okay, I don't see any hand. So let's go on to 3.45. Here's the question. Do you feel that the contention resolution mechanism from the 2012 round, i.e. CPE and last resort auctions, met the needs of the community in a sufficient manner? Please explain. Okay, so I guess we're really talking about here the CPE, the community priority evaluations, and the last resort auctions. And then we'll talk about the private auctions in the next question. So the BRG, the Registry Stakeholder Group, Affilius, and ALEC felt that the CPE and last resort auctions are generally a reasonable approach. Okay. They say the CPE as a decontention process could benefit from the introduction of models that were not all or nothing, however. So ALEC said, yes, they did feel that the CPE and the last resort auctions were sufficient to meet the needs of the community. Is there anyone who wants to weigh in on this issue, the E and the last resort auctions? Or are folks generally pretty happy with them? Well, I hear crickets. That's about it. Okay. Anybody want to get in on the CPE and the last resort auctions, or shall we say that the community is generally happy with them and we can move on to the next question? Okay, not seeing any hands or hearing any voices, I can say we can move on to the next question, which is 3.4.6. On private auctions. Okay, so here's the question. Do you believe that private auctions, i.e. not the auctions of last resort provided by ICANN, resulted in any harm? Could speculative applications seeking to participate in a private auction in future application processes, should they be allowed or otherwise restricted in the future? So I guess here we're really asking about private auctions and might they produce harm? Okay, and so looking at some of the responses that we got, there's a group comment from Jim Prendergast, the Registry Stakeholder Group, Affilius, and ALEC. They stated that private auctions resulted in speculative applications. ALEC favored prohibiting private auctions, while the Registry Stakeholder Group and Affilius preferred other narrowly tailored mechanisms to address the speculation. Okay. So what do others think on this issue, particularly here in today's discussion on the value of private auctions and the potential for harm and leading to speculative applications, and should that be allowed? What do folks have to say today on this point? Okay, I see Jeff has his hand up. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I'm just again personal capacity. I'm not sure how we prevent private auctions. I mean, perhaps you can prevent the overt marketing of private auctions as was done in this last round. But at the end of the day, all private auctions are, you know, the only thing you would see if they were on the black market, if you will, would be people withdrawing. You would never see what happens on the back end. So I'm not sure how you can prohibit it at all. But I'd love to hear ideas if anyone's got any.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, that may be a reality that, you know, we are not in a position to prevent them, although there are things that I suppose we could do to try to mitigate that or disincentivize that. Folks, I think it is the problem that it looks like from the comments that we received from the community that it is. What do others think? Anybody else want to get in the queue on this? I know in the chat, John Nevitt says private auctions is just one form of contention resolution. The policy question is whether we should support private auction resolution or not. Okay, that's really is an interesting point, you know, to the extent to which we want to make sure that we, the ICANN community, controls this process, or the extent to which we want to support the private resolution of such disputes. What do folks think about this? There's nothing we can do about it, and so why try? You see a lot of people are typing. Anybody want to get in the audio queue? As Jeff has typed, are there ideas on how we could stop private contention resolution? I think that is something that, and even if we can't stop it, the extent to which we could disincentivize or mitigate, discourage it. Anyone have any thoughts? Okay, so I don't see anyone in the queue on this or hear any voices. So I guess we can move on to the next question, which is on 3.4, which is general feedback from the GAC. And so the GAC submitted an excerpt from the GAC chair to the CCNSO chair with regard to string similarity. And so the GAC wants to reiterate its, that it fully supports some of the key points expressed in the EPSRP working group, and in particular that CCPLD policy is in matter for the local internet communities to determine, that an IDN CCTLD application represents the free choice of a specific linguistic community that has full right to use its language and script in the DNS space, that where a finding of potential confusability has been made, rather than rejecting the application, the process should allow the applicant to propose mitigation measures and to fully assess possibility versus probability of any such confusion, where there is a split recommendation between uppercase and lowercase, the finding relating to the lowercase shall prevail and the application shall go forward where probability of confusion is low. ICANN must ensure consistency in the evaluation of the IDN strings throughout the TLD space and remedy the current different approaches that are present in the GTLD and CCTLD spaces. So there's a lot of specific points here that the GAC has made and requested with respect to the issue of string similarity. What do the people on this call have to say about these requests or thoughts from the GAC on string similarity? Okay, I see Anne has her hand up. Anne, please, go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Robin. It's Anne for the transcript. This is really a question for Jeff because I have a recollection that in Work Track 4, we're talking about a registry operator having some IDN rights, and I just want to be reminded from Jeff what we have been discussing in Work Track 4 on the subject of IDNs. If Jeff is still with us.
Yeah, no, I'm still here. Sorry, I was responding to something on the chat. Can you just repeat that? IDNs, how they relate to what? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jeff, it's Ann. I thought we were having some discussion within Work Track 4 about certain IDN rights going to a registry that has the English version of the word or something. I'm super foggy on this, but I thought maybe you would remember what had been said in Work Track 4 about IDNs that are the equivalent of the English application, Arabic.
Yeah, sorry, and I'm struggling to remember the context of that in Work Track 4. I know we talked about it here in Work Track 3 for similarity at one point, but I'm not remembering. I apologize. If I think of it, I'll jump in.
Okay, it's Ann again. I'll go back and check Work Track 4 slides for the mention of IDNs and try to get back to people. Thank you.
Thanks, Ann. Does anyone else want to get in the queue on this GAC input? How about the issue of where a finding of potential confusability has been made rather than rejecting the application? The process should allow for the applicant to propose mitigation measures and to assess fully the possibility versus the probability of any such confusion. That sounds like it's, you know, sort of something that we could all agree with. No? What do folks think? Donna, please, go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. Donna Austin. I'm curious as to the, okay, so Steve's just put in the chat that EPSRP working group is the extended process similarity review panel. Was that the panel related to IDN CCTLDs and the review that they go through for confusability? And if it is, I'm kind of curious as to whether there was any context that came with this general feedback, because there is an IDN CCTLD policy, and I just can't kind of bridge the gap between that and what we're talking about here, because they are quite distinct issues as I understand it.
Yeah, thanks very much, Donna. Jeff, yes, please, Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Donna, it is distinct in the sense that that only applies to CCTLDs, but I think the overall point is that there are certain IDN characters that could look a lot like ASCII characters, even in the GTLDs, and I can't remember if it was Bulgaria or someone that was applying for the IDN version of their country code, and it looked too close to, like, Belgium or something, an ASCII CCTLD, and so they didn't let it go. They said it was too similar. And then there were some recommendations that came out of that as to what to do. I think the Bulgarians weren't too happy about the fact that they weren't allowed to proceed. And I think the GAC was commenting on something about if there were mitigation measures that the Bulgarians could engage in that would take away that confusion, they should be allowed to go forward. I'm not sure, again, that was for CCTLDs, but perhaps it's got applicability to IDN TLDs that may look like ASCII TLDs. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Yes, Donna, please go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. So, Jeff, you're right. There was a situation that took a long time to resolve with an IDN CCTLD. I think potentially what this is getting into is the GTLD space needs to be careful that any IDN TLD doesn't actually represent an IDN, potentially an IDN CCTLD. I could be wrong, but I think that might be the bow they're trying to draw here.
Yeah, Thanks very much for that, Donna. Did anyone else want to weigh in on this question on the GAC response? We've got just about 2 minutes left. Okay, I see Alan's got his on. You have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. There has been a recent disagreement between the CCNSO and the SSAC about TLDs that are confusing the SIMR visually, and there was discussion of ways to get around it, including, you know, what, you know, for instance, if in the case of the Bulgarian, all this wasn't what they were talking about, if the rest of the the rest of the domain names are all in Bulgarian, then it's not going to be any confusion with Brazil. And I know there an agreement has been reached just very recently between the CCNSO and the SSAC. I suspect that agreement is relevant to our discussion here, and perhaps we need to look at the details of it. I'm not aware of what the details are, but I was told that it has been resolved very recently. So I think we may want to look at that.
Thanks very much, Alan. Anyone else want to weigh in on this point? Okay, well, I don't see any other hands or hear any other voices, and we've got 1 minute left in the call, and that's just about perfect because that was the last substantive question in our string similarity and on our agenda. So we've been able to wrap that up. Anybody else, anybody want to get in on any other business, anything that folks would like to raise quickly before we wrap it up? Okay, well, I don't see any hands or hear any voices. So just another reminder that as we discussed earlier on this call, rather than our call, next call 2 weeks from today, we'll be having it 1 week from today on the 17th of October. So make a note of that in schedules, and we'll be sending out new invitations as well. And with that, I will thank everyone for participating and adjourn the meeting. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Today's meeting is adjourned, and I will end the recording. Everyone have a great day.